I guess I can begin with Happy Father's Day. I hope you have a good day. Perhaps you'll get a steak or a good dinner out of it or something, but Happy Father's Day. And it's a blessing to have all of our dads with us this morning. It's a blessing to have everyone here, but today our message will be directed more at fathers than about fathers. I hope and pray today you'll see this message as maybe a challenge or just a reminder to dads as far as faith. And I believe that all here will be able to find something from God's Word. Just because this is a Father's Day message does not mean that you won't be able to find anything. If you're not a dad, I believe as we go through the Scriptures, you'll be able to find something from God's Word that you can apply that'll be a blessing to you. But if you are a father today, God has blessed you greatly. He has. If you have children, then God has blessed you. But you also know that it's difficult to raise children after God. Probably because of the world that we live in. It's a world of sin. There are so many temptations and so many discouragements in this world that it's difficult to raise children after God. Also because of the troubles and the trials that we may face in this world. Both as individuals, but also as families. There's troubles and difficulties that seem to pop up all the time that we have to deal with that makes it difficult to raise children. But I do believe it's possible to raise children that love God. I believe it's possible to raise children that look to God, and it's possible to raise children that will walk with God when they're older. But it must be done by faith, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about a father's faith. And we must raise our children by faith because, dads, you're limited in power and strength. Even though your children may think you can pick up the world and solve all the problems, you probably understand that you're limited in your abilities as far as problem solving and what you can and cannot do. Also, dads, there are going to be some obstacles that you will not be able to overcome in your own, I guess you say, time or your own abilities. So you're going to need help. You need faith in God. This morning, we're going to look at a father's faith. If you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me to Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at a father's faith, and hopefully we'll be encouraged to trust in God as well. Mark chapter 5 is where our text will be this morning, and we're going to begin reading in verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us. I thank you for those that have come out this morning to hear your word preached and to hear it taught. I pray today that you will bless us from your word. Please, Lord, set me aside and I pray today we'll see your word and we'll focus on the teachings that you have for us. And I pray also, Lord, that this will be an encouragement today to dads, of course, but also to all of us. Encourage us from your word and provide the teaching that each one of us needs. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice this morning, as we look at this man, I want you to notice his faith. Notice his faith. And the first thing I want you to notice was that his faith was prompted in a trial. Now what I mean by that, his faith did not come from this trial. But his faith was stirred up, or it was prompted because of this difficulty that came into his life. This man, Jairus, was a ruler of the synagogue. In other words, he was a leader amongst the Jewish people. We're not talking about a man who just showed up one day. We're talking about a man who was probably known in the community. Perhaps he was respected. Some may have even looked up to this man. And all of a sudden, a trial came into his life. By the way, nobody is exempt from trials. Even if you're successful in your career, trials can still come into your life. And we find here that this man faced a difficulty. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called." I want to draw your attention real quick, just for a moment, to the fact that the Bible says not many. It doesn't say not any. It says not many. Here, in this case, we have a man who was educated, a man who was successful, a man who was a leader. And we're going to see this man come to Christ for help and place his faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there were other influential leaders that looked to Christ during this time. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea come to mind. Those were men who looked to Christ, who were leaders amongst the Jewish people. You see, this morning, social standing matters not when faith is concerned. You know, when it comes to time to trust in God, it doesn't matter what you have done or where you were born. It matters that you put your faith in God and put your faith in Christ. Now, this man, this leader, Jairus, went to Jesus with his problem. That's what we find here in this passage. As it says there in verse 22, it says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers." At the end of this verse, it says, "And when he saw him," speaking of Jesus, "he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death." This man, this dad had a precious, precious daughter. This morning, if you're a dad, God has blessed you with children. Your children are precious to you, or they should be precious to you. According to the Gospel of Luke, and Luke chapter 8, this daughter was his only child, and she was 12 years old. So we're talking about a young girl who was 12 years old, and this man evidently believed that she was beyond hope, as far as worldly hope. Bible says that she was lying at the point of death. And so he looked to Jesus for help. Now, notice he went out of his way to find Jesus. He had to go out and find him. He had to go look for him. He went out of his way to find Jesus. And he was probably inconvenienced a little bit, but he went anyway. You know, there are some that only seek God when it is convenient. That's it. When they have no other plans, no other engagements, then they'll think about seeking after God. You know, sometimes as believers, we only serve God when it's convenient. When it makes us feel good, perhaps. Or when we have to offer no personal sacrifice. And then we may serve God. I want to encourage you, dads, this morning. Dads, show your children the importance of serving God faithfully at all times. Whether times are good or whether times are difficult. Show them that it's important to seek after God. To be faithful unto God. To follow God, even if you're inconvenienced a little bit, show them the importance of looking to God. This man came to before Jesus, the Bible says that he fell at his feet. Now that's an act of humility from a leader. He understood that Jesus could help him out. So he fell down at his feet seeking his help. And then the Bible says that he pleaded with Jesus for help. Approaching Jesus with humility and asking for his assistance. That's where we find this man or this dad. And the Bible tells us that Jesus heard him, didn't ignore him, didn't set him aside. How many of you thank God today that He hears your prayers? I thank God He hears my prayers. He doesn't ignore him or set him aside. He heard this man's help or this man's cry for help. And the Bible tells us that He went with him. You see, our Lord and Savior is ever ready to help us in times of need. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, the Bible tells us there, in verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy," he says, "and my burden is light." You know, this is the great call of God to of sinners to come unto him. 28 says, "All you that labor and are heavy laden." You know, those are two different words. I know I've mentioned them in the past, but this morning it fits here again. You know, that word labor refers to those that work and caught up in work. Have you ever labored to the point of exhaustion before? You're just tired. You can be physically tired and you're ready to get some rest. Do you realize we can be spiritually tired as well? You know, there are a lot of people in the world today that are working for their salvation, thinking they have to do this and do that so they can please God, or when they stand before God, they'll be accepted. You know what? When they reach their spiritual exhaustion, let's hope and pray that we're there to point them to God and say, "Look, all you that labor, those of you that are tired of working and you want salvation from God, you can come unto Him." And then he talks about those that are heavy laden. Now, this is referring to someone putting a burden on you, placing it there. You know, in life, there are times when we may have a burden placed upon us that we didn't choose to carry. You know, nobody gets to pick the place that they're born. Nobody gets to pick the parents that they have. Nobody gets to pick things along those lines. But God says, all you that are heavy laden, God understands that there are going to be things that happen in our life that we have no choice over. He says, bring those to me as well, and I'll carry them. You see, this morning, God is ready and willing to help us with our burdens and to carry them and to be there for us. So I want to encourage you, dads, especially this morning, as you lead your family, as you guide your children, when there are burdens or trials that come into your life, take them to God. You know what often happens with dads is dads are very independent. You know, often dads will just push forward and say, well, you just keep going. And they'll make sure, of course, it's good. They'll make sure their family's taken care of, their children are taken care of. But if they're not careful, they can become discouraged themselves. They can stumble and fall because they're not taking things to God themselves. So make sure, dads, this morning, you're taking things to God and you're trusting in the Lord. Now, this man went to God, ready to take his problem to him, and Jesus Christ heard him and went with him. Now, faith. You think about faith this morning. Faith is often stirred during a trial or difficulty. And that's because when a trial arrives, we realize we need help. You know, when everything is fine and everything is going the way we want or the way we planned, not saying that we don't talk to God or we don't trust in God, but sometimes it's easy to take things for granted. Sometimes it's easy just to assume, well, things are going to work out. God's going to do this, or things are going to be fine. But when a trial comes, especially one that just causes us to stop and slow down and think about what's important, life and death, as this situation speaks of, when a trial comes into our life that causes us to stop, I think it causes us to realize our weaknesses and understand our need for help. And so we began to seek God and put our faith in Him or trust Him to help us and to guide us and direct us. I want to encourage you this morning to resist the temptation to carry on without help. That temptation is going to be there. I'm talking to believers this morning. You run into a trouble or a trial or difficulty, the temptation is going to be there just to say, well, I'll just push through it. Instead of taking it to God, you're just going to go forward. Take all your cares and concerns to God. Trust God because He loves you, wants to hear your difficulties, wants to help you out. I want to encourage you this morning to trust in the Lord. Look to Jesus Christ and seek His power and His strength. Let's go back to our passage here. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to continue reading there. It says there in verse 23, it says, besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now this morning, I'm going to stop there. But I think you'll notice what we have is a man who has come to Christ, seeking his help, placing his faith in the Lord, Jesus responding with, okay, let's go. And then we have this woman who reaches out and touches the hem of his garment as they're going. And the Bible tells us, you continue reading there, that Jesus stopped. And here, we find our second point. Jairus' faith was tested. It was tested. First, it was tested in waiting. You know, there are those that believe men are impatient by nature. There may be some here this morning say, yeah, men are just impatient. Some may say, dads are impatient. Hurry up. Let's go. What's the delay? We're going to be late. For Jairus, think about this. Time was vital. His daughter lied at the point of death. There she was. He came to see Jesus, and Jesus said, all right, let's go. And they began to head back, and I imagine he was trying to hurry. Let's go, let's hurry up. We've got to get there before she dies. It's important. That's why when you think of ambulances, that's why they have sirens on top, and that's why when they get going, everyone moves out of the way. Because it's important. Time is vital. And they have to get to where they're going in a timely manner. Here in this case, Jesus stopped. Now, I don't know what Jairus is thinking. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I imagine he wanted to continue, but he had to wait. You know, often when we are delayed, we push and we prod people. Sometimes we have to do it at work. Maybe you're waiting for a project or something to come in from someone, and they're delaying, and so you may send them an email or call them up and say, hey, I'm waiting for that. Where's it at? Maybe it's with family. You're trying to hurry them up along and say, well, you know, we're going to be late. Better get going. And you push them a little bit. You prod them so that way you get things going. I don't know about you, but I believe Jairus kept quiet. I don't think he prodded Jesus any. I mean, we're talking about Jesus Christ. He had just fallen down before him. I believe he understood who Jesus was. And so when Jesus stopped, I don't think this man said, come on, Jesus, we better hurry. We better keep going. I don't think he attempted to hurry Jesus up. I don't think he muttered under his breath. Ever done that? Or something doesn't go your way, you say, oh man, you start muttering under your breath. I don't think he sat there and muttered under his breath for all to see. I don't think he glared at Jesus. Hurry up. You know, gave him that look to try getting him going like a husband does a wife, or even a wife will do a husband sometimes. Hurry up. Here's that look. I better get going. I don't think he glared at Jesus to get him going. I don't think he stood there in defiance. Maybe I don't think he folded up his arms and began tapping his feet and saying, come on, let's hurry up. I think he just kept quiet and he waited on Jesus Christ. That's all he could do. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God. You know, I don't think he did the things that many people do when their prayers are unanswered. Now think on that for a minute. Here's a good point for us. If Jesus were standing physically, if he were standing right before us when we prayed and we offered our prayer to him or to God through Jesus Christ, I wonder how our reaction would be if our prayer remained unanswered. If Jesus said, you have to wait. I don't think any of us would begin to get upset at Jesus or try to hurry him up and begin to say all these things or mutter or say, I can't believe that he's not answering my prayer on time. You see, loved ones, we need to understand that God is aware of all things. We need to understand that when we do pray to God, that he knows our prayers, he knows our concerns, that he knows all things. And so when we talk to God, we should not only approach him with respect, but when he answers or delays an answer, we should be willing to wait. And that's what happened here with Jairus. He had to wait, and his faith was tested. You see, Jesus was not concerned with time. Now that's a difficult one to wrap around, I think, to get our minds wrapped around, because we are so driven by time. I mean, I imagine a lot of you got to be somewhere tomorrow morning. Work starts 6, maybe 7, maybe 8. Even if you're on a schedule where you can come in a little bit late, you still got to be there to get in there at a certain time to get your work done. You know, you have appointments by time. You got to be there at a certain time, whether it's a business appointment or a doctor checkup, you got to be there at a certain time. And so we are so caught up with time. But see, Jesus was not concerned with time. He was, I guess you could say, he understood the situation and he was in complete control. He wasn't going to be late, because he's not bound by time and he's not bound by our trials. And that's something that should encourage us, that our trials and really the time we have, Jesus is not bound by those things. He's above those things. He's greater than those things. And so this man's faith was tested. Now look with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 5. Let's skip on down here to verse 35. Mark 5 verse 35 says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? This morning, I want you to notice that this man's faith was tested to the limit. I tell you, all the way to the edge. Sometimes God will allow a trial to go to the edge, to the limit. And that's what happened to this man. As he waited for Jesus, could you imagine waiting for Jesus to come and heal your daughter? I believed that he trusted in Jesus. And as he's waiting for Jesus, a messenger arrives with news that his daughter had passed away. It must have been terrible for this man. Heartbreaking. I imagine he was disappointed. He was discouraged. May have been in despair. Doesn't give us a lot of details of his thoughts. But knowing what it's like to lose someone you love, you know he had to have been discouraged. This messenger offered him some practical advice. He said, why trouble the master any further? Things are done. It's over. It's finished. I think to many people, it doesn't say so, but I imagine many may have thought Jesus was too late. Maybe he shouldn't have stopped. Maybe he should have hurried up and went and healed her and then returned back. And so many of them may have thought Jesus was too late. Because while there is life, there's hope. But when life is gone, there's no longer hope. Think of David. Remember when David lost his little child? He says this. He says, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." See, David understood the finality of death. And I imagine this man did as well. And so according to everyone else, Jesus, I guess you could say, was late. Have you ever felt that way before? When you prayed and you didn't get an answer right away? And you knew deep down inside that Jesus wasn't late, but sometimes you just felt that the answer wasn't there, and you're wondering why there was a delay, and how come he didn't answer that prayer. I just want to remind you this morning that God is always on time. He is. He doesn't miss anything. He is aware of what's happening in your life, and he is always on time. Bible says that Jesus immediately encouraged Jairus. Notice it says there, verse 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only believe.'" First, he comforted him with the words, "Be not afraid." Jesus is essentially telling him, all is well. It's taken care of. Don't worry about it. You see, that's the way I think as dads we should approach God as we go through trials and difficulties, as we lead our family and our children. All is well. Trust in God. Have faith in the Lord. And then secondly, he challenged him with his faith. He says there, really with one thing, he says, only believe. Only believe. Now, who's he to believe in? Jesus. That's the person he sought to begin with. He's to believe in Jesus and believe in his teachings and his power and his abilities. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:13, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You see, we should trust in Christ because we know that he's all powerful. And through him, we can do all things. Now, there are going to be times in our life, dads, you probably know this already, there will be times when all you will be able to do is trust God, follow him, and live day to day. That's it. You're just going to have to live by faith. And there are going to be times when you have to do that. And I want to encourage you to trust, just like this man had to trust. Finally, notice in verse 37, it says there, "And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, 'Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.'" We're going to look at this man's faith rewarded. Now, he could have just stomped off, mad and angry. He could have blamed God for all of his problems, like many do today, and turned his back on God and said, "God, you're not helping me out. Why would you allow this to happen to my life?" And he could have been upset and angry. But God challenged him, Jesus challenged him to believe. And so he did. And Jesus went with him to his house. They arrived, and the Bible tells us they arrived to a weeping and wailing crowd. Now, I'll tell you this, it is tragic when one dies. It is never exciting. You know, even though we know our loved ones will be in heaven if they've trusted in Christ, it's still not a time that we enjoy because of the separation that we have to face from those that we love. According to Matthew, in his account of this, he said that the people mourned and that the minstrels were making a loud noise. So I imagine that it was quite the scene when Jesus arrived. And what did Jesus do? He stopped it. He said, "Quiet." He quieted the ruckus down. And he told them to stop. And the reason being, he said, "She's not dead." You notice what he says there. In verse 39, he says, "And when he come in, he saith unto them, 'Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.'" You know, this morning, I want you to think on something. It's about proper perspective. Bible says that Jesus said that she slept. Now, he's not referring to the soul, as some teach or want you to believe. I think he's referring to her body. And I'll give you a few verses to back this up. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, Paul says, "Whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And then he goes on to say, two verses later in verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You see, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians, we also find it later in his writings to Timothy, that Paul understood that at death he would be separated from his body, but his soul would be reunited or would be with God because he belonged to God, because he was saved. So upon death, our body does sleep, but our soul is still alive. And our soul, according to the Scriptures, will go to God if you're saved and you belong to Him. So friends and family, this morning I can tell you, friends and family that have passed away and have already entered into eternity, they're not gone. You know where they are. If they've trusted in Christ, they're with the Lord today. They're not missing. You're not going to have to seek them and find them. Someday you'll be reunited with them if you've placed your faith in Christ as well. What we have here is Jesus had the proper perspective on death. He had the perfect perspective on death. You know, if we're not careful, we can look at death as just being a complete end with no hope at all afterwards. But to the believer, death is not the end. Death is the beginning of eternity, whether it's eternal life with God or eternal separation from God. And so we need to have that proper perspective. So as we go forward in this study, we see here what is going to happen next. Bible tells us there in verse 38, it says, or verse 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make this ado and weep? And then in verse 40, they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. So we find here that these people began to laugh him to scorn. They mocked him. I tell you what, they didn't have any faith at all. There was no trust in Jesus. And they began to laugh and doubt his claims. You know, I will say this, reason is often missing when it comes to life and death situations. People will say things and do things that they would normally not do because they're just so emotional. And here these people acted without faith. And what did Jesus do? He removed them from the room. Set them aside. You know, those that doubt God will miss God's blessings. And that's true of believers too. If you don't put your faith in God, you're not going to see the blessings that God may have for you. We need to live by faith. So we see that Jesus was mocked. He was doubted. And the Bible says he went in, took her parents with him, and he took this young girl by the hand. Let's read it there. Excuse me. In verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is, being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So we find that Jesus went in there, took her by the hand, spoke, and she received her life. That was it. Received her life back. She arose immediately, walked, to the astonishment of all, and continued in life. You see, she had power to live because of Jesus Christ. This morning, we have power to live spiritually because of Jesus Christ. Bible says in Hebrews 7, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come by God to him. You see, God, Jesus, is able to save and give eternal life. And we find here he gave this girl physical life. Now, humanly speaking, I will say this, humanly speaking, God will not always answer in a positive way. I don't think this passage is teaching us that God will always give us what we want. God will always provide the answer we're looking for. God will not always answer in what we think is a positive way. He will not always give us what we dearly want. Think of some of the men in the Bible. I think of Joseph. He wanted out of prison, but he was required to stay there 2 more years. Before he received his freedom. How about Daniel? Was taken from Jerusalem at a young age, a teenager. He left Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he prayed daily, 3 times. You know what it also tells us? He never returned to his homeland. I don't know what he prayed. I don't know if he ever wanted to go back, but he never was allowed to. He continued on, was faithful. How about David? We read a passage about David's child dying. David's child died and was never returned to David as far as on earth. But David knew that he would be reunited with his child in heaven. You see, God will not always give us what we want or what we desire. But here are 2 things we need to remember concerning God. First, he will always do what is right. Because he's God. He's perfect. He's pure. And he knows what we need. This morning, he knows your needs. He also knows what lies ahead. Now, we have an idea of what we're going to do today. We have an idea of what we're going to do tomorrow. We may have some plans for this week. But if we were all honest, we'd all say, you know, things can change. Something can happen that'll change my plans. I may have to do this or I may not be able to do that. You see, we don't know what lies ahead, but God does. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month. And being God, He is able to guide and direct and answer our prayers according to that knowledge. Also, God knows what is best for our life. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can want something so bad, and perhaps get it or just do everything we can to get it. And next thing you know, we regret what we wanted. And we think, oh, why'd I chase after this so bad? That's not what I expected. The best thing to do is trust in God. Seek God's will and God's direction and pray that God will provide, because God knows what is best. Secondly, God will work all things out for good because He's gracious and merciful. And that's what the Bible teaches in Romans 8:28. You see, God is never overcome by a trial or difficulty. This morning, if you are facing a trial of some kind in your life, now, of course, this is to dads, but this can apply to anyone. If there is a trial in your life this morning, you can be sure that God has not been caught surprised by your trial. He's not unaware of what's going on in your life, and He's not overcome. It's not something too great for Him to help you with or to guide you through. But you see, God often allows those into our life so He can work through them in our heart. I think of this man. Had there been no trial, he never would have sought God. He never would have, by faith, looked to Jesus Christ. You see, God will often work through the trial to bring us to Him, draw us closer to Him, strengthen us, and the list goes on and on and on. You see, we just need to trust in God. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 34. He says, "O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." You see, we just need to trust in God and put our faith in the Lord. You know, this morning, you think about this man. You think about Jairus for a minute. He was a leader and a ruler. And you think about him as a dad, because today's Father's Day, and I want to give you some thoughts here in closing, dads. I believe this man did what he was able to do. It doesn't tell us the background as far as all that he did, but I imagine he found the physicians. We're talking about a leader, an influential man. I imagine he found the physicians, brought them to his house, or took his daughter to see them. I imagine he brought everyone in that he thought could help him out. The Bible says that there was no hope. I mean, it was done. It was finished. And so what he did is he took his problem to Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to give up. As a dad, he took his problem to Jesus Christ. And he placed his faith in Christ. He was willing to wait, and God blessed him. You know, this morning, dads, we carry many burdens for our children. Now think about that. There are a lot of burdens that we can carry for our children. Now, of course, we think of the obvious when they're young. We think of a roof over their head, food on the table, clothes that they can wear, education, list goes on and on, of many of the things that we can help them with and carry their burdens. I was reading where one man said, it's when they get older, those burdens are still there sometimes. As parents, we got to continue to help them sometimes with clothes and so forth. And so, as parents, there are a lot of burdens that we can carry. And you know what, as parents, I think there are a lot of burdens that we don't mind carrying. We want to help. We want to see our children be blessed and to see them grow. But there are going to be some burdens that you cannot carry for your children, no matter who you are. Dad, I'm talking to dads this morning. There are going to be some burdens that you cannot carry for your children. The first one is the burden of sin. That's between them and God. Now, you can point them to God. You can pray for them. But you can't save their soul. And you cannot go to God as a mediator in between to save their soul. This morning, I want to encourage you to pray for your children if they're not saved. They're not living for God. And point them to God. You see, what you can do is you can point them the right direction and you can provide the answers. Now, we're not, as parents, we don't want to just look for a yes or no. You can get children to say yes or no to anything. But you want the Holy Spirit to work in their heart. You want the Holy Spirit to provide conviction. And you want them to trust in Christ as their Savior. At least I imagine that's what you want as a parent, or maybe even a grandparent this morning. And if that's the case, encourage you to pray. But of course, point them the right direction. Teach them about God. Teach them about sin, the importance of getting things right with God, and then allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life. Now, there are many other burdens that you can't carry for your children. How about health? You know, there are times when a child will develop a health problem. And I know parents, if they could trade places, they would. But you know, there are times that you can't. Once again, faith in God, trusting in the Lord, looking to God. That's where faith is important as dads, as we lead our children, and as we lead our families. You see, this morning, this man had faith. Faith during his trial. He had faith in God when he was tried. He had faith in God when he had to wait. And the Bible tells us that he waited and God blessed. This morning, dads, I believe if you put your faith in God, he will bless. He'll bless your efforts. He'll bless your family. And he will bless your children. We're going to close with a word of prayer and an invitation this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I pray as we have this invitation that you will guide and direct in all that is done. If anyone here this morning, Lord, has if you've worked in their hearts, I pray they get things settled with you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a few minutes this morning. As the piano begins to play, if God has worked in your heart in any way, I encourage you to seek him out. Now, of course, this message was for dads, and perhaps dads, maybe some of you have, you know, there's some things going on in your life that you just need to trust in God with. Perhaps there's some burdens, some difficulties that are beyond your abilities. Tells us in 1 Peter, cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. I encourage you this morning to take those to God, trust in him. Maybe there's one here this morning that is not sure of their salvation. Not just dads, but anyone here is not sure if they're saved. If that's the case, I encourage you to. You could trust in Christ, or if you have questions, you can come down this morning and we can show you how you can know that you're saved. Thank you.